Welcome to Bridges. I'm Monica Schmelzer. Today we're talking about Jesus is the light of the world. And my dear friend Adonis Lindsay is here to help me co-teach this John chapter 12. And Adonis, just I'm so thankful for your time and that you could be here with us.
Oh, Monica, it's been great. I've enjoyed every minute of it. And thank you so much for having me back in the studio.
I'm glad to. You know, this in John chapter 12, when we talk about Jesus as the light of the world, you know, of course, he's our example in everything. Mm-hmm. And really, when I think, Adonis, when we look at his earthly ministry, his walk on planet Earth, he was in so many awkward and uncomfortable situations.
Yeah.
You know, we think we've got it bad.
Exactly.
You know, I look at the beginning of this John chapter 12 and, you know, Mary anointing Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And maybe you could like set that up for us. What in the world was going on? We look at church today and we think all that's going on. It's like, it was going on all back then, too.
Exactly, exactly. And I think with that, you know, I like how you said, Jesus found himself in some very awkward situations, mm-hmm. but he chose to teach in every one of those. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was preparing his body, getting it ready. And so for Jesus to sit there and allow that to happen, I think that was a part of teaching as well. And that was a good thing. And he knows, you know, his time is limited there. She knew, but at that point, you could almost see, okay, they're getting it.
Yeah.
She knows I'm about to go back to heaven and she's preparing my body.
Yes.
For the burial and the resurrection.
Yes.
She's anointing me. And, you know, there were some in the room that got kind of frustrated, irritated.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And just like us as humans, you know, especially in the, I'm not picking on the church, but that's where if you're going to get critiqued and criticized, a lot of times it's in the church arena, Monica. Well, why are you praying like that? It doesn't take all that. My grandmother used to say, you know, when people was like, you know, Miss Temple, you don't have to pray like that. It's not necessary. And she'd be like, it ain't necessary until it's necessary.
Amen.
She's like, I'm in a situation where I've got to pray like this because it's necessary.
Right.
And but, you know, there was some that would get irritated by it, just like Judas.
Yeah.
Got upset. And, you know, and I want to talk a little bit about Judas if I can with that, Monica, because he got upset and said, well, we could have sold that to help the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And by then we already knew the motive of his heart, you know? And even people would say, well, why would he choose 12 disciples if one was a Judas? And, you know, I look at it like this, Monica. There's a lot of people that start out in ministry with the right heart and the right intentions.
Mm-hmm.
We've all seen it.
Absolutely.
We've all seen that.
Absolutely.
You get on the right path. And, yes, Jesus already knew the end from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to challenge us to just plant a thought. Maybe Judas started with a good heart, good intentions. He could have.
I think it's quite possible. I also think, you know, the whole point of the gospel is to learn, to change, and to grow.
Yes.
And Jesus gave people opportunity.
Opportunity.
And he gave opportunity to Judas. We know that he prayed all night before he picked his disciples.
Exactly.
And I think that sometimes when we look at Judas, we need to understand, of course, Jesus knew the end from the beginning.
Yeah.
The Bible teaches us that. We just don't know all the substance that's in that story.
Exactly.
There has to be, I think it's quite plausible that Judas started out with a right heart and got filled with greed or power hungry. There must have been something in him that was sincere.
Yeah.
And then something changed.
Something changed.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I go back to we've seen people start off on a good path.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start noticing when they're changing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we may not give up on them.
Right.
Because we believe in that person.
Right.
But everybody has to make their own choice and their own decisions.
That's right.
And I believe when, you know, it's easy to read the Bible because we see it in its entirety right now. So we already know the life of Judas from start to finish.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
But like you said in another session, they didn't have the Bible back then. They didn't have this.
No.
So, but we have that foreknowledge. And so sometimes that foreknowledge causes us to already judge a person.
Right.
Without knowing their past and their history.
That's right. Well, we know in some respect.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Not to jump ahead of ourselves, but when we are in future chapters in the book of John, that when they were having the Last Supper and so forth, we know that the other disciples did not know that Judas was the betrayer.
Yeah.
So it would indicate to me that on some level, they weren't 100% sure that he wasn't entirely with them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Even if there were problems, right? Because you guys, you know, in our own families, in our own churches, none of us bring perfection to the table.
No, we don't. We don't.
We all have lapses.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why with Jesus being the light of the world, you could almost imagine him, Monica, because even when he chose him, it's intentional.
Yeah.
And that's recognizing maybe he was like, okay, these guys need the light. And, yes. and the light's going to affect them all different ways, mm-hmm. but I'm at least give them that opportunity. And I think that was intentional with Judas as here's the light shining. Now you've got to do something with that,
yeah.
you know? And when we withdraw, and sometimes when we're left to our own devices and the greed comes in or the you've got a different agenda, and I think that's when we start getting off course right
yes.
there. Because, you know, once again, he said, well, you know, why is she doing that? Man, we could have taken that and sold it and given money to the poor, which giving to the poor is a good thing.
Yes, it is.
Because he's still speaking the right stuff, Monica.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yet it's the light that exposes our heart.
Yes.
And when Jesus comes in as a light, it's not to spotlight you so people can see your faults.
No.
And I think a lot of people, and I think somebody needs to hear this right now, a lot of people think God is stepping into your world to expose you. He's not.
No.
That is not. God's not trying to embarrass you. He's not trying to hang you out to dry, but he's trying to expose you to give you an opportunity to allow him to fix
yes. Yes.
the blemishes.
To allow us to see life and ourselves clearly.
Yes.
So that he can help us make the changes. And we all have changes that we need to make.
Absolutely.
But you're so right. The heart of God is never to embarrass or to hurt us. A good parent never desires to hurt or embarrass their child. Help them, yes. Correct them, yes. But to shame them,
yeah,
no.
That's and that's the whole light of the world. You know, to try to create an analogy or just to kind of break it down where people can understand it, it's like try getting up in the morning and getting yourself ready for work in the dark. Try that. And you can kind of see it's like you need
yes
to click on the switch
mm-hmm.
to see.
Yeah.
Because if you do that in the dark, you don't know what people are going to see out there. And that's
Good
the
grief.
Whole thing, Monica.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people think, well, Jesus is trying to expose us. He's not. He's trying to keep us
Amen.
From being exposed.
Yes.
Because he knows people are human. And when people see your faults and your cracks, they can get mean, nasty, and ugly.
Oh, my goodness. You know,
they can do that.
I can. Holy Spirit correction is a gift.
Yeah.
Correction from the Word of God is a gift.
Yes.
Correction from people
mm-hmm.
who are not Spirit led
yeah.
and really don't have our best interests at heart is horrible
yes.
and shameful.
Exactly.
You know, you mentioned in one of our sessions about jealousy and recognizing
mm-hmm,
the voice of God, because
mm-hmm.
sometimes even our friends will speak out of jealousy into our
yeah,
lives.
Yeah.
And there have been times that people have called me aside and they've said, this is because I love you. This is
mm-hmm.
with the best interest. But really what the session was about, shaming me
yeah.
and pointing out my faults and then
yeah.
thinking, but I love you,
oh, yeah,
sister,
yeah,
of
yeah.
course. And it's like, love had nothing to do with any of that.
Nothing to do with any of it. Absolutely, Monica. And that is just the nature of people.
Yeah.
And God knows that. And that's why he sent the light, Jesus, Amen. The light, into the world so that we don't have to stumble around in darkness. There's nothing worse than walking through your house in the dark and hit your shin on the corner of the coffee table.
I'm feeling that pain.
Talking about
right
pain?
Now. Because okay, you don't know what's coming.
You don't know what's
like,
coming.
Bam.
You don't know what's coming, you know? And you try to, because you're familiar with your house.
Yeah.
Oh, I can do this. I don't have to turn. I can just get through real quick.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people live life like that.
Yeah.
In the dark. They get comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And when we get comfortable with something, it becomes a part of our life. And God's not called us to be comfortable with darkness.
Amen.
The light comes to shine so we can see our way through this. And it also helps us recognize what's dark and what's light.
Yes. Yes. And, it's so good that you said that about walking around in the dark. Because sometimes if I do have to get up in the middle of the night or I'm coming home late, I don't want to put all the lights on, right?
Yeah.
I got my hands out to feel the door.
You know,
and you think the doorknob is right there, but no, apparently it's not. It's over there. There's a lot that goes on. Mm-hmm. Lots of harm comes to us if we don't have light.
Absolutely.
If you wake up in the morning, right, and the lights first come on, we need it to see, but it's kind of that reaction, right?
Yes.
And so sometimes the Word of God, like this John chapter 12, it can shed light on things that might shock us. And
exactly.
Spiritually, we might go, oh, I didn't see that, but that's the point of this.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of times, one of my kids, when they get like a splinter or something in their hands, now, my eyes are almost 50 years old. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, hey, bring it here. Go get the flashlight.
Yes.
Because I need to see.
Yes, right.
What's going on before I just start messing with stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's the light. And, we have to be thankful for that light when God is shining it on us.
Mm-hmm.
Through his love, through his mercy, through his grace, he's shining that light to get us to, I need to fix this or I need to fix this. And it's not our physical, but it's maybe our attitude.
That's right.
Maybe the way we've treated somebody, maybe how we treated a coworker.
Yes.
He will shine the light on that and illuminate that so that I messed up.
Right.
I didn't do that right. I remember years ago, my son taught me a huge lesson because you know what it's like being in ministry, Monica.
Yes.
It's like every time you go somewhere, you're on. You're preaching. And my son didn't know the difference between, daddy being the preacher and daddy having to correct him. But in his little mind, he taught me something, and it was almost like you couldn't argue. When God shines the light on something, you can't argue with it.
Right.
And that was my son's perception. And I was fussing at him for doing something one day, and he needed correcting, but I think the way I was coming across was wrong.
Yeah.
And my son sat there, and he was like, okay. And he goes, daddy, he goes, when you're at church and you're on stage, you're always like smiling and, he said, but when you're here, you're like, that was his perception. His perception, he shined the light. God used
that's
that to shine the light.
Mm-hmm.
That Adonis, your son thinks you're two different people.
Yeah.
What are you going to do to fix that? I could have argued with that.
Right.
But arguing with my son wasn't going to change his perception.
That's right.
I had to fix that. And in that moment, it hurt because it's like, I'm not two different people.
Right.
But my son sees me one way here and another way here. And God was shining the light on how I brought correction to my son.
Yeah.
So I still corrected it, but it was with a smile on my face.
That's right. Because God shows us that, this is the thing. This is about his light.
Yes.
So many times, God has shown me what I look like through his eyes.
Yeah.
I thought I was doing the right thing with the right heart. And what I was doing needed to be done. But sometimes when it's correction, that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It can seem harsh to people. I don't want to defeat. Of course, our son has grown now, but I wouldn't want to defeat him in his early years growing up.
Yeah.
I don't want to defeat him now. I don't want to defeat the people that I work with. Sometimes, though, I do have to say things I don't want to say.
Yeah.
And they're hard and they can be hurtful. But I always want it to be with that smile of true love,
true love.
Okay, even though this happened, I still love you. We can get past it,
exactly.
Right? But that lesson in life, it's not the same when you're on stage preaching at church. You're not correcting a person.
Yeah.
But how how mature of you to say, but this is what my child sees, so I need to respond.
Exactly. Because like I said, I could have stood there and argued, right. Which is our human, that's our default.
Yeah.
God will spotlight something on us, just us. Nobody else sees it, but we still want to argue.
Right.
And I almost did it with my son. I almost been like, well, you know what? I'm not their parent at church. I'm your, you know.
Exactly.
But that was not, that's not going to change his perception.
No, it's not.
God was shining a light on an area of my life mm-hmm. where my oldest thought I was two different people.
That's right. And he was comfortable enough to be honest with you.
To be honest with me.
And so that's high marks right there
yes,
for you. We have to
yes.
think about that too as leaders and as parents. When people say something that seems correction to us or
yeah.
whatever, to say, okay, but there's another way to look at this.
That, exactly. That
there's some light here. This person trusts me enough to even go there.
Yeah, yeah.
And now what do we do with
yeah.
it? So,
and I love the way you said that because it's true. God will use people.
Yeah, he does.
To you will know the difference,
yes.
Monica, because I believe it'll hit you in a different way.
Yep.
When people are shining the light to just criticize you, that's going to hit you.
Yes.
In a negative way. That's mm-hmm. that's going to take you and make you feel 10 times low.
Yep.
And that's when you have to recognize, okay, God didn't send you into my life to
Mm-mm.
speak that. That is
that's
not
right.
the light of God coming.
Right.
To help me.
Right.
That's coming to hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
But when God sends people into your life to speak truth,
yes.
it'll hit you deep in your spirit and you'll know, whoa, that's God. I can't argue
Amen.
With that because God is using so-and-so to shine some light
that's right.
in a dark area of my life that I didn't even know was there.
Because we all have blind spots, you all. I mean, every last one of us. And that's just why we're going through the Bible chapter by chapter and doing the study this way. We need Jesus as the light of the world to show us truth. We all, you know, just like a car, the mirrors will sometimes say, you know, blind spots or whatever.
Yeah.
We need, of course, the Holy Spirit, and we do need each other, people that we trust
yes.
and that
yes.
love us, to help us because none of us see ourselves as we are.
Exactly. Exactly. We look in the mirror. Sometimes you see those memes on social media. You know, it's like, have you ever, I'm not calling anybody out, but we've all run into people that we saw on social media. Then when we meet them, it's like, am I in the right place? Are you the right?
It's embarrassing.
It's
just embarrassing.
They look totally different.
Yeah. It's like, what in the world?
Okay. And I think, you know, God loves us way too much to allow us to walk through life
Amen.
Thinking we are casting one image or one persona, one perception,
yes.
and we're not.
Right.
And that's why, because of his love,
Amen.
Somehow he's going to send some light into that area. And it's going to hit us in such a way to where we know that is from God. You know, I think about when David with Bathsheba. You know, God sent the prophet Nathan, I
yeah.
believe, to him and told him a story, Monica, that he could relate to
mm-hmm.
about a man stealing from a poor man's sheep. And David was like, what would you do? And then he said, well, I would go out and
yeah.
destroy this guy. But he looked at him and said, thou art the man.
Yeah. And you think about that. Nathan tells David this
yes.
story and David gets so mad.
Yes.
I would kill that guy.
Yes.
You know, and so David knew right from wrong, but he didn't see himself as he was.
Exactly. And that's how we get in life,
mm-hmm.
Monica.
Yes.
For whatever reason, when God sees that we are blinded because of the darkness, David was in a dark place.
Yes, he was.
Still functioning as king. Still functioning as a ruler, still respected by people, but functioning in a dark place. And
yep.
God loved him too much that he had to get a hold of a prophet. Hey, you need to go. I need to send you to speak to David
yep.
to shine some light.
Yes.
Because he can't see that he's in darkness.
That's right. He can't
he's
see.
He's blind.
He's blind to his own sin.
To his own stuff.
And this is what the Word of God does.
Yes.
Is it opens up our eyes and our hearts to our blind spots, and so do other God-loving people that
yes.
we can trust. They help us to see that. And we're in this John chapter 12, and I think about the betrayal of Jesus, and you brought up so many good points about Judas. And, you know, Mary is anointing Jesus.
Yeah.
And Judas is ticked off, you know, he says, because he wants to give to the poor. But one of the things that struck me about Mary anointing Jesus is that in the middle of this very tense situation, she recognized that the light of the world was in the room.
Yes.
So even though the Pharisees, you know, Simon is doing his little thing, Judas is mad about the money, she worships.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lesson in there for us in our lives. I know I have the tendency to say, well, as soon as this trial is over, then I can have more time in the Word, right? As soon as I'm feeling better emotionally.
Yeah.
But no, she worshiped right in that moment. And in these dark times, we can worship him even though the world has gone mad.
Exactly. It depends on what you're going to focus on. She focused on the light in that moment, in that moment.
Yes.
She didn't care who was in the room, who was there. And it's like she was in the zone. She was in her own world with Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus recognized that, and he gave allowance for that to happen and taught out of that. But that was something that you and I, just like you said, we all can learn from that as we find ourselves in some uncertain times. And we forget, Monica, once again, because we think they had the Bible back then.
Right.
But for them to know, it's almost like saying, Monica, okay, you love this person, but I'm going to give you the foreknowledge that they're not going to be with you much longer. Then you're treating them differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not allowing things to bother you. You're focused on your time with that person. And I think that shows a maturity level as well as she anointed his head. And it showed a immaturity level for somebody to think about money at that time.
Exactly. And it's all, as you said, it's the light. It's Jesus is the light of this world in this chapter, lighting up whatever's going on with us. And Mary takes this most obedient and inspiring to me that a woman, right? In a room of religious leaders that didn't really acknowledge her, that she went ahead. Because how many times do we get stuck in our lives and say things like, well, I'm not going to go to church because there are hypocrites there. I'm not, just, you know, this leader did blah, blah, so therefore I no longer believe, I'm hurt. The thing is, all of those things may be real and they may be legitimate. I don't want to minimize people's pain, but we can't let the darkness and the pain in this world overshadow the light of Jesus.
Yeah. And that's the assignment of darkness.
Yeah.
Monica, it's, have you ever been in a dark room? It doesn't take much light. That's why, the Word of God says darkness can never overpower the light.
Amen.
We could be in a room like this and it'd be pitch black, but it just takes a little spark. If you had a little candle, it will illuminate enough for you to navigate your way out of that place.
That's right.
And Jesus has already let us know the darkness will never overpower it.
Never.
Now, the darkness can come in and try to manipulate you.
Right.
It can come in and try to cause you to take your eyes off the light. But there's so much drawing power in light itself. You know, the light does many things. But, you know, I think about summertime and I think about, I'm always telling my kids, when you don't leave the porch light on until you're coming in, because it's going to draw bugs. And the moment you open up that door, bugs are coming in.
That's right.
So we're going to leave it off until you guys are in for the rest of the night. And we don't have to worry about bugs. But it just has that drawing power.
And
there's
that's
so
good.
Many people. You may be watching right now, and maybe your world's been turned upside down. And there's chaos, and there's worry, anxiety, all these things that would try to suffocate the light. But there's a God who loves you. And there's a light of hope in your situation. You just have to focus on it. And the more you focus on the light, all of a sudden, what happens, Monica? Your eyes readjust. That's a natural physical thing. Your eyes readjust to the room.
And then we no longer are trapped in darkness.
Exactly.
There's one verse here I just want to read out of this chapter in John, verse 19, because it really is underscoring what you said about the darkness never being over to overtake the light.
Yeah.
But it's verse 19 in John 12. And I love this, that the Pharisees said this. Then the Pharisees said to each other, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah.
Everyone has gone after him.
Yeah.
And it, y'all, if we could just wrap ourselves in mm-hmm. that truth right now mm-hmm. today, there's nothing the darkness can do
exactly
to stop the work of God.
Yeah.
There's nothing that people with Pharisees' attitude,
yeah.
right, or evil plots mm-hmm. or any political denomination. I know that all of this crazy stuff is going on, but nothing. The darkness
yeah.
is never going to extinguish
exactly.
the light.
Exactly. And it can't. And that's the thing. It's like when those Pharisees realized that, they had a realization.
Yeah.
This man's ministry is solid. Now, they're going to keep fighting it, but they knew they're mm-hmm. fighting something that's very legit. It's solid.
That's right.
This man's from God.
Mm-hmm.
They know there's nothing we can do, but we're going to still try to manipulate.
Right.
We can't stop him.
That's right.
But now our assignment is to stop as many people as we can from seeing
yes.
that he's the light. And I love what Jesus said. It goes back to the belief system, Monica. That's what we've been talking about,
mm-hmm.
believing that he's the Son of God.
Amen.
In verse 46, he says, I've come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness.
Amen.
And that goes back to the power of our belief. If we believe in Jesus, he said, we should not. Now, how many people have you come across? Y'all believe in God, but you're hating your brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're carrying a grudge.
Mm-hmm.
You won't forgive somebody who, if you believe in me, you should not abide
Amen.
In darkness.
Amen.
And if we recognize that, we've got to quickly recognize when we are abiding in that darkness,
mm-hmm.
when we are slipping into a dark hole, a dark tunnel. We've got to recognize that, Monica.
We do. And the light gives us the ability to recognize that. As we're talking about in John 12 today, Jesus is the light of the world. And we're out of time again, but I'm just so glad that you could come out today and
yes.
help us study the book of John together.
Yes. Well, as always, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure and an honor. And keep up the great work. God is awesome. And you're touching a lot of people,
Amen.
Monica.
And keep coming back.
I will.
Has fear stolen your peace? I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, helping you fight your fears and grow your faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.